Hi, and welcome back to the Prepare Podcast. Today, we welcome Captain Tammy Whitney to the podcast. Captain Tammy is the Program Secretary for the Heartland Division. Today, Tammy shares about how God used women's ministries to bring her back to Christ, tips for how to build ministry when not everyone is on board, and ways to reimagine ministry opportunities through flexibility and creativity. Thanks for listening. Here's my conversation with Captain Tammy Whitney. Captain Tammy Whitney, welcome to the Prepare Podcast.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Thank you. We're glad you're here. Calling in from the Heartland Divisional Headquarters, where you serve as the Program Secretary for the Heartland Division.
Yes.
And with a really, I can see her office, guys. It's very colorful. Teal wall, like a gallery style, photo art, multimedia display behind her. I think it's probably a reflection of your personality, would you say?
A little bit. Just a little bit. A little bit colorful and scattered.
It works. But it works, and it all ties together, and it looks beautiful. So you're calling in from your office. Like I said, you're the program secretary. And previous to this, serving as an officer at the Corps level in Monroe, yes. Michigan, Eastern Michigan Division, and then two Corps previous to that in Heartland as well, Waterloo, Iowa, Danville, Illinois. And today I'm just going to pick your brain. After you introduce yourself, I'm going to pick your brain about your experiences as an officer, as a leader, and just about who you are and your hopes and dreams for our church. So before we do all that, why don't you go ahead and introduce our listeners to who is Tammy?
Well, that is an intriguing question. I've actually been thinking about this question because I knew you were going to ask it. I am a passionate follower of Jesus. I'm a creative. I love to do all things creative. I love to make things, whatever that is. I'm a wife and a mom. I have two kids, Nathan, who just turned 16, and my daughter, Becca, who everyone knows on the social media as the spirited one. She just turned 7. My kids are my heart. They are my first level of ministry. So it's an interesting balance of officership and parenting. And I've looked to a lot of officers who've gone before me who I think have done it well and asked a lot of questions. And I don't know. That's who I am.
Great. Well, you and I got to talking, just typing back and forth, trying to figure out what direction this conversation was going to take. And, you know, it is a Salvation Army podcast. It is produced by the Women's Ministries Department. And so we want to talk about your experience with women's ministries. So why don't you go ahead and share your connection? Because it was before officership that you got involved in women's ministries, and that's impacted you on the long term, right? So go ahead and share with me about that.
So when I was a little girl, the Salvation Army was my church home, but my parents went through a divorce. And when that happened, I wasn't allowed to come back to the Corps. My mom wouldn't let me come back. So it wasn't until years later, after I was married, my husband and I really thought it was time to find a church. We were newly married and just trying to figure it out, and things weren't going well, and we were making some bad choices. And so we decided to go to the Salvation Army because that was my church home. So we went to Fulton Heights Citadel in Grand Rapids and walked into a sea of blue uniforms, which was a little overwhelming, for my husband at least. But there was a band there which drew him in. And I remember they made an announcement that there was a women's Bible study that would be happening. I do believe it was on Thursday night. And my life was such a mess. there was a lot of partying and just really dumb things. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to that Bible study because I need to get my life right. So I need to start somewhere. So I showed up, probably hungover at the Bible study and just a mess. And there was this group of women there that were so kind and loving and just the sweetest spirits. And I feel like God put that group of women together at that particular point for me. I went and I didn't understand anything they were talking about. I mean, I knew who Jesus was and I had a base understanding from when I was a little girl, but there was a lot of conversation that I was just like, I don't know what any of this means. And I was so stubborn and determined. And I'm like, I don't know what any of it means, but I'm coming back next week. Mm-hmm. And so I kept coming back and these women, like in my just brokenness and my ugliness and all of that, they just loved me. They welcomed me. And I would say stuff that, oh my word, I look back at that and I'm like, I don't even know who that person was, but they just kept loving me. And I hung in there and I asked questions and I looked at these women and I thought, okay, they have something that I want and I don't know what it is. So I kept coming back and it was Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds like such a Sunday school answer, but the Holy Spirit was just at work in the lives of these women. And, we did a Bible study called The Bondage Breaker, which was popular back then. And there was just a lot of junk from my past that I was dealing with. And there was one particular Bible study. I had been battling depression and anxiety and all this stuff. And these women gathered around me and laid hands on me and prayed. And it was like I could feel that spirit lift. And so those women just became very important to me. And I'm still in touch with them today. No matter where I go, we write letters back and forth. We talk whenever I'm back in the Grand Rapids area. Usually I meet up with one or two of them for a coffee or a meal. And they're just very important to me. And I think women's ministry is such a beautiful doorway in for people. Whether it's a Bible study or just a craft thing, it's women's ministry is all relational. Mm-hmm. And that was where... that's what brought me back to Christ and back to church. If it weren't for that group of women, I wouldn't be sitting here today.
That must be so exciting for them to have seen your life on the trajectory that it ended up taking. What were their thoughts as they've seen you go from that point to this point?
Well, so the core officer at the time was Major Janet Rowland. And when I came in, I was such a mess. And she was just so, so sweet. And so she was so good at holding space in a Bible study. Like, she didn't rush things along. She could just be quiet. And she just was such a patient, kind presence and saw me through so much stuff and was able to just quietly hold space. So she saw me at my worst. And then as we went through the training, the process to go to training and CFOT, they were appointed at Norridge. So our first Sunday as cadets, we went to Norridge and they were the core officers. And I got up and shared a testimony, you know, through tears and the whole thing. And she said, I never thought that this day would come, but like, it was just a really beautiful thing for her to see that. And my friends from that group have kind of watched my journey. It's kind of amazing. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that, like, we can create that space for other women God really is in the transformation business. Mm. So, and I think women's ministries is such a great place for that.
Well, here's my follow-up question to that, because I totally affirm everything you just said about what women's ministries is or maybe even should be or can be, because I read a lot of reports from the field, 6-month, 12-month reports, and again, I keep seeing this statement throughout the territory, maybe just here or there, not like every single court reports this, just here and there, of how the long time existing women's group doesn't want to welcome anyone in. What do we do as leaders or core officers to help break that attitude or that habit, to teach our women the gift of hospitality and love?
So honestly, I don't know. There are some people that I don't know that you can teach that to. Mm. We had an officer's council's guest named Kenneth Callahan, who wrote a book called Small, Strong Congregations. This was a number of years ago, and he said something that was completely transformational for me in my ministry. He said, if you have a group that is closed and they like the way it is, let them be. Okay. And you just build around them.
Okay.
Let that group do their thing. And then you can do things. And you can, even if you need to form little smaller groups around, you can do it. I think that there is an idea that we have to add to the groups that we already have. And sure, that's nice if it works. But I think the beauty of the Salvation Army is we can be flexible. Mm. And we can do all different kinds of things. And you can find ways to reach women that aren't necessarily a Bible study or the traditional home league. They can be field trips. Like in our last core appointment, our ladies love to go to IKEA. Mm-hmm. So we would plan IKEA mm-hmm. trips. In another appointment way back in the day when the show Glee was popular, we would have women over to the quarters and we would play Rock Band and watch Glee every week that it came out. It's all about relationship. I think we try to make this thing too hard. And if you've got a group that's not interested in adding to them, fine. Let them have their relationship with each other. Build around them.
Good. That's good stuff. You know, when I came into the women's department nearly, it was like 5.5 years ago, and I was trying to make women's ministries more visible online, you were such a cheerleader to me. And I remember a lot of the feedback and encouragement I got from you. We would, I just remember you specifically talking about like that your heart and in your gifting was in programming, and now you're the program secretary in a division. I just think that's so neat that you recognized in yourself what your passion was, and that's been honored. How cool is that? So can you tell me more about your passion? You were talking about when you're introducing yourself that you're a creative person and you like to, you're a maker. Can you talk more about that in ministry?
Oh, yes. I will tell you that has been such a big doorway for me to use in ministry. Whether it's doing art therapy classes at the Harbor Light, which we did in our last appointment, to teaching knitting, to just all kinds of things, baking, cooking, all of those things that I enjoy doing, I just bring people along. Like, come on, sure, you want to learn how to do this? Let's try it. And I think it also gives me a unique ministry opportunity. I think sometimes we exist in our Salvation Army bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, if they come to our core, they're the people I minister to. But I have an opportunity, like through knitting. I go to knitting groups in my community. These people are not Salvationists. They may not even be saved. And that's okay. Like, I can meet new people and reach new people in that way. I like to take different classes, and I don't know, it gets me out and about. And I think that a lot of people have a creative spirit kind of hiding within them. I mean, we were created in the image of God, who is a creator. So opening that door for people, it's my favorite thing. It's the best.
Kind of unlocking within them that created in the image of God, you are also a creator. That's neat.
Yeah.
So for any of our listeners, including myself, that doesn't exactly know what a program secretary is, can you explain what that role is at the divisional level?
Well, I think that it's probably different in different divisions. I don't know because this is the only one that I am in. Mm-hmm. In my role is a little different too because I'm also the Officer Resource Development Secretary. So I take care of educational needs and I do spiritual retreats for officers and some things like that. But the program secretary piece, I joke with my husband that I'm like the divisional event planner. I mean, usually divisional events are my department. I do also look at the statistics. I know I'm not a statistics person, but it does tell a story. I do some leadership training for our lay leaders on the field. And really, I try to do anything I can to support the officers, whether that's preaching on a Sunday, coming and doing a women's ministry program, or whatever they need. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just, I need somebody to sit with me and listen. So I'm not quite sure exactly what my specific role is. I do all of the things.
And is the youth department and music department within program at DHQ?
So, no, they are their own department.
Okay.
But we work closely together in really all of our program departments are separate, but we all work really closely together. One of the gifts of the Heartland Division is we're small. And so we need each other. Mm. We often will like weave divisional event ideas together, like, oh, hey, you're using this theme and you've got this thing. Can I use this for my program? So what you'll find in Heartland, because we work so closely together, we do not always plan it this way, but there's usually a thread of a theme that runs through all of our programs through the year. Mm-hmm.
So since you get to have such a close relationship with Corps or with officers, resourcing them or helping them or coming alongside them, and this is a question I've asked a few other guests, what would you say are the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats to the Salvation Army today?
I think our strength and our opportunity lie in our social ministries. I think Pathway of Hope, that is the way forward for us as a denomination. And really, not every church has people coming to them.
Right.
Like we have people coming to us, asking for help and looking for relationship and looking for those things. So I think that is by far our biggest strength and opportunity. And I think so often we get so busy with the things that we have to do that we forget this whole segment of people that are like coming to us. Mm. So I think that is a huge strength. I think weaknesses and threats, really kind of the same thing. We get so locked in to what this is, what the Salvation Army is, and this is what it's supposed to look like. And I mean, if we look all the way back to the founder, William Booth was flexible. Like he would look and see a need and he would try to meet that need. And I think we need to be a little more flexible. And I think sometimes those ideas are in our head, like that ministry has to look this way. I know as a young officer, I would get so, well, DHQ expects me to do da 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 da. Okay, really? DHQ expected me to minister to people? I just had to figure out how to put it in the stats box. So probably about 4 years into my officership, the light bulb went on and I'm like, so if I just minister to people and I'm bringing people in, like it really doesn't matter how I do that. DHQ is not going to come and tell me, stop doing this thing that you're doing. So I think we've got to get outside of our own heads a little bit and really start looking at the needs with a fresh eye and ministering to the needs of people just right where they're at. And don't worry about trying to fit them into a program. Let's just build relationship. I keep coming back to that, but it's relationship, relationship, relationship. That's what people need. So I don't know if I answered the question, but
yeah, I think so. Tammy, you were talking about the need to for the Salvation Army to be more flexible. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think our culture today is shifting, and we've got to recognize that that shift is happening, and we have to be agile and move with some of those shifts in how families function. Kids today have a lot of things that they do. Families today have a lot of things that they do and a lot of things that take up their time. So I don't know that the traditional Salvation Army view of like programming three nights a week or whatever really works anymore, because people are busy. Mm-hmm. So how do we find a way to meet that need? And I think it's this idea of when we get that time with them, let's maximize that. Let's really focus on building relationship. I think one of the strengths of the Embrace program is it's once a month.
Yeah.
And it's in people's home and it's relaxed and you don't feel like, oh, it's another thing I have to do. And you're not burning out leaders. I've heard over and over again, leaders who are just so tired mm-hmm. because program. So how can we do this in a way that's flexible and meet the needs in today's society? And, you know, I have two children who have their own interests outside of the Salvation Army. Mm-hmm. And so how do we maximize when we do have them there? So I think there's a need to maybe program a little less, be a less rigid in our programs and make it something that people want to come to. You know, back in the day, the fourfold program, and even for some groups, it still works. And I say, for those groups that it works, oh my goodness, keep doing it. But if it doesn't work, stop. Stop killing yourself. Stop killing yourself doing a thing that doesn't work and try something new. And that something new may not work the first time. And that's okay. So stop doing that and try something else. Mm-hmm. Utilize the flexibility of the Army and the opportunities that we have with the people who are coming in.
All right, final question. Because as you know, these episodes are shorter than they have been in the past. Where would you like to see the Salvation Army in 10 years?
I think the bigger question for me is where would I like to see the church in 10 years?
Okay.
We are a small cog in this great, big, beautiful machine that is the church. And I think that maybe I can't answer where I'd like to see the Salvation Army. I hope the Salvation Army gets to a point where we can leverage the opportunities that we do have and really reach to those people who are already coming in our doors. Like I said before, we are such a unique ministry that people are coming to us for help. So I would like to see that look a whole lot richer than it currently is. And in some places, and especially in the Heartland, I see people really utilizing their social ministries and Pathway of Hope to really draw people in. I do think that we are going to have to change some things in some locations just to keep up with what society is looking like. And in some places, that may be a traditional Sunday morning. In some places, that may be church and McDonald's.
Yeah. Aren't there a few core in your division doing something called like not night church, but like dinner church?
Yeah.
Can you describe what that is?
So it's usually it's a simple meal, and there is somebody who presents a simple gospel message, and there's singing and worship, and it's just really simple. And really, the focus, yes, there's a gospel message presented, but it's really about building relationships around the table, which is what Jesus did. That's where he built those relationships, and that's where those conversations about faith, and that's where discipleship happens, is when you're living life right alongside people, sharing a meal and sitting at a kids' band concert or a soccer game or whatever.
And the core I'm thinking of, I don't remember, I think the Hartleys.
Yep,
Yeah,
Clinton,
they're
Iowa.
Clinton, Iowa. They're doing it. And they've really gotten flexible where they're not doing the traditional morning service. It's in like night church. Is
Yes.
that right?
And
At like 5 o'clock?
yes. Yeah. And I think we have really great leadership in Heartland that allows for some flexibility that, yeah, go ahead and try it because what some places are doing is just not working. So go ahead and try it and see what happens. And in some places, we're seeing some real amazing things happening. And I think it's going to take some time for that to build. But again, I think we're going to have to, I mean, if we look at stats across our territory on a Sunday morning, yikes. I mean, it can be a little disheartening, but then I think there's this whole other piece over here where we are building relationships with people through Pathway of Hope, through Harbor Light Ministry, through ARC Ministry. So I think that there is growth. We've just got to shift how we're looking at it.
Good. All right. Thank you, Captain Tammy. Do you have any last closing thoughts? You can leave our listeners, our kind of newly developed tagline is at the end of the episode, I say, we hope that you feel more prepared and equipped for tomorrow after listening to this episode. So, any last thoughts that will leave our listeners feeling more prepared for tomorrow?
Have courage to be flexible. That's what
Perfect. That's what you
I
got.
That's what I got.
Perfect. Well, thank you for giving our listeners about a half hour of your time to share from your wisdom and experiences to prepare and equip us for ministry ahead.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Captain Tammy, for sharing from your life and years in ministry. I love how you, in a way, gave a lot of us permission to try out some ideas and hopes we've been praying and daydreaming about. I'm excited to check out the book you recommended called Small, Strong Congregations, Creating Strength and Health in Your Congregation. We hope you leave this episode feeling better prepared and equipped for tomorrow.